This is Shamir Young, bringing you the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast. Listen in as award-winning photographers discuss how they find opportunities, market their talent, and overcome mistakes to become respected, ever-advancing professional creatives. You'll also hear about their hard-learned lessons, as well as tips for making awesome images. You ready to take your photography business to the next level? Let's do it. And if you haven't already, be sure to pick up your free photography business bundle at prophotographerjourney.com/freebusinessbundle. It's 4 weeks of helpful free gifts delivered every 7 days directly to your email inbox. The first thing you'll get is the PDF e-guide titled 12 Common Business Tips and Mistakes Photographers Wish They'd Known Before Going Pro. And believe me, I've made quite a few of these mistakes myself. After that, you'll get a new free gift every week that will help you propel your photography business forward. So head on over to prophotographerjourney.com/freebusinessbundle and get yours today. Also, if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave a review in iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews I get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast in search rankings. And I want to reach as many people as possible. So again, please leave a review. I really appreciate it. All right, let's get to the interview. Hey everybody, this is Shamir Young, bringing you this solo episode talking about the actionable takeaways from my interview with Trey Ratcliffe in the previous episode. First of all, I want to say, how friendly was he? Oh, you know, I was nervous starting off the conversation with him, and this is actually usually the case with the people that I interview. I start off a little bit nervous, and then we get into it, and I start geeking out, and they start geeking out, and it's great. But I was just struck by how friendly he was, and also that the guy was willing to do the interview with pneumonia. A little bit of backstory, he had actually been in the hospital and had just gotten out. He had just gotten out of the hospital a couple days previous. And I had not realized that because I hadn't been on his blog in a couple days. And so we hop on the Skype call. And I mean, I could tell he had just gotten out of the hospital, and I was shocked. And I told him, you know, we can reschedule if you want. And he said, no, let's do this. And I really, really appreciated it. And so thank you, Trey. It was just, you're awesome. You're just awesome. Oh, okay, so let's get into the actionable takeaway portion of this episode. If you would like to download a PDF of what I discuss, it's laid out for you. All the points are there and it's made nice and pretty. Head on over to prophotographerjourney.com and hit up this episode's show notes page, and there will be a link for you to download the show notes. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about is that you need to listen to your creative instincts. Trey referred to this as your inner child during the interview. Don't try to make everyone happy. He mentioned that you don't want your work to be designed by committee, meaning that, you know, it's fine to get critiques, which can be helpful, from instructors, from other photographers, from people who know more than you, and that's great. Take all of that into consideration. However, you want to have your own personal touch in the photos that you take. You're not trying to please everyone. Your creative instincts can be and should be one of the most powerful influences in the work that you output. Really listen to your inner self. You know, I mentioned during the interview that when I was younger and I would draw something I liked, or if I painted something I liked, and even today, if I take a photo that I like, there's this feeling in my belly. I mean, literally a feeling in my belly. I remember being a kid, and that's how I would know if I was personally on the right track for what I was creating. Now, it took a while, years, to really verbalize, to put it into words what this feeling was. And even going into art school, you know, they never had a class where they talked about that feeling in your belly. No, they taught you composition, they taught you lighting, they taught you concrete techniques. And so it can be easy to ignore your instincts, to ignore yourself. But please do not do that. Listen to your instincts. Listen to that feeling in your belly. Whatever you get when you're in that state of flow, when you're taking photos or doing whatever, because this can apply to other anything else. I mean, if you love coding, then, you know, it applies to that. I doubt people who love code may or may not be listening to this show. But just to say, this isn't just for photography. However, it's very true in photography that you need to listen to yourself, to your inner self, your inner child. Be free to express that. Give yourself permission to take photos and take chances. Get experimental. It's good to know how to use lighting, of course, and how to use your camera, which you should know like the back of your hand. It's good to understand these basic principles of composition. However, let yourself explore, because that's what makes you different from every other photographer out there. You know what is beautiful inside. You know, you have this inner sense of what you personally find beautiful or intriguing or mysterious. So listen to this and follow that voice. Another thing Trace said along the same point number one of listening to your creative instincts is that you know the truth of the beauty inside your heart and inside your mind and inside your soul. And the more you work with your photography, the more this will come out and the more the truth will become known. And I think that was so beautiful when he said that, I had to write it down. And it's absolutely true. The more you listen to yourself, the more your own personality will express itself in the work that you do, in the photos that you take. And so listen to yourself, listen to your heart. I may be getting a little woo-woo here, but I love this woo-woo stuff. Listen to your soul and your heart, because, I mean, it's the way God made you, and we're all different. Okay, moving on. Another thing Trey mentioned is that you should have fun with your post-processing. So after you've taken your photos and you import them into Lightroom or Photoshop or however you like to process your photos, have fun, explore, experiment, don't be afraid. One thing he mentioned was that he likes to go into his software and crank the sliders all the way up and then all the way down that affect the photos and see what it does. And this is something that really I encourage you to do as well. It's something that I do. For example, my workflow, I import photos into Lightroom, and then some of them I head on over to Photoshop and edit them further, and then I have Topaz software, I love Topaz, installed within Photoshop. And so I will make edits in my photos within Photoshop, within Topaz. And I love having fun and experimenting with Topaz because they have a row of sliders. And so, for example, if you're applying, let's say, an HDR effect, you can crank a bunch of sliders all the way to the left and to the right and see what it does. And then usually what I will find myself comfortable with is somewhere in between there, but it's so much fun to experiment and to make mistakes. And sometimes those mistakes lead to another creative path, and I end up editing the photo differently than I expected, but having it turn out really cool. So have fun with your post-processing. Another thing, point number three that we talked about in the interview, and this is huge, is that your photography is really a lifestyle choice. It's a lifestyle choice as to whether you decide to take on clients or not. So consider the consequences, good and bad. Trey talked about how he makes his money, and it's not really taking on clients all the time. And most of how he makes his money doesn't deal with taking on individual clients at all. And so really examine how you run your business. And it's not saying that it's bad to take on clients. It's absolutely okay. But if you decide to pursue an alternate way to make income for yourself, such as ebooks or online courses or selling your work in galleries, whatever you decide to do, make sure it's true to yourself. And one thing that I've run into myself sometimes, and also talking with other photographers one-on-one in person, is that a lot of times, especially just starting out, we think the only way to make money is to take on freelance clients. This is not the only way. When you take an image, you open up a world of possibilities to monetize that image. For example, I take on freelance clients on a very part-time basis. I'm much more selective than I used to be. But I also bring in other income, such as by creating online courses using those images, or putting my work up on fineartamerica.com, for example, where you can sell your work as framed prints or have them printed on canvas. And so people can go in and order your work and you get that payment and the website automatically ships it out to them. So I don't have to deal with fulfillment when shipping, which is not fun anyway. I don't find it fun. And so you can sell your work online. You could even go and try to license your work, which so many artists and photographers are doing that. It's absolutely doable. And you could work on licensing your work for greeting cards or wall hangings or blankets or even wallpaper. I mean, you take an image and there are so many things you can do with that image. You can create online courses, as I mentioned, which is also another thing that I do. And one of the upsides of pursuing one of these alternate ways of making a form of income is that it frees you up a whole lot more than being at the beck and call of clients all the time. If you have clients, your lifestyle will be different because you will be scheduling meetings and photo shoots with them. Once again, not saying clients are bad, because one of the most fun things can be interacting with people and seeing the look of joy on their faces when they really like your photos. But just take this into consideration. If you have alternate forms of income, that can free up your time. Plus, it's always good to have more than one stream of income. If you solely depend on clients, then your lifestyle may get a little bit hectic. That can be more time away from your family. Another thing to consider if you're taking on clients, make sure you're charging what you're worth. If you're not charging enough, you may run yourself ragged with a million clients and still not have enough money to pay the bills. I've done this. It's not fun. And so, if you're taking on clients, yes, make sure you're charging what you're worth. Some photographers prefer to only take on larger jobs that last 6 months or however many months. And so they don't have to find as many clients, but they're still able to make a living wage. So these are things to take into consideration. Lifestyle is huge. And with photography, the lines between lifestyle and business are often blurred. So in short, you don't have to do anything and everything to make money with your camera. Rather, find out what you like to do and then pursue that. Okay, point number four for your blog. Make it a resource that people want to reshare. Trey compared this to bees discovering a new food source and doing the waggle dance, which I thought was just the most awesome illustration ever. And when bees do the waggle dance after they find a food source, it's to let the other bees know where to find that food. And so, if you want people to share your blog, if you want people to do the waggle dance after they discover your blog, make it a resource for your target audience. For example, if you're a wedding photographer, you want, let's say, a potential bride to visit your blog. So let's say they visit your blog and they're on there and they see your work, which you should have up there as a minimum, of course, your portfolio. And they go, oh, I love these photos. And you have blog posts talking about the process of past brides, of past couples that you've worked with, and really just kind of like case studies, breaking down point by point. The potential bride that's looking at your site will really appreciate that. She'll go, oh, look at this. They know how to work with people. And then to take it a step further, let's say there's an area on your site, because you're a wedding photographer, where you have free downloadable PDF guides that brides can take with them at no cost. And it tells them, let's say, 12 things to look out for when hiring a wedding photographer. This is a free resource that will help them. This is something that they will want to, in turn, share with their other friends, quite possibly. Or if they have a friend who's getting married or who's engaged, that will increase the chances of this person referring their friend to your website because you're giving them a resource. And so make your website a resource that people will want to share with others. Okay, point number five. Trey mentioned the only constant is change. Stability is an illusion, especially when you're in business for yourself. I mean, this is true for general in life, but running your photography business, stability is an illusion. You may have an awesome job or an awesome gig. Let's say you have an awesome gig right now and life is great. You're paying the bills. 6 months from now, things may change. So you have to be willing to change with the times. And a big part of this is constantly marketing yourself. And also in business, you may think, oh, if only I had this many clients a month, or if only I had A, B, or C, if only it happened perfectly, then everything will be great forever with my business. This is not so. your environment and your business is fluid. So you need to dance with it. You need to expect it. Don't stress about instability, because if you're in business for yourself, especially as a photographer, there will be times of instability. For a lot of people, it can be feast or famine, meaning sometimes you have a lot of gigs, sometimes you don't have as many gigs. There are peak seasons and there are off seasons. So you need to be able to change with the times. A part of this is saving money, so that when you're having slower times, you have extra funds to draw from. So when things are going well, put some money aside in preparation for those slower times. Okay, point number 6 is that you should be gentle with yourself. Forgive yourself for any mistakes that you make with your business. It's okay to fail. I've talked about this with other interviewees as well, but this is just such a huge point. We will make mistakes running our businesses, and that's how we learn. In school, we're penalized. We're penalized for making mistakes. They mark us down. We get lower grades. And so then we think that it's not okay, and that if we make a mistake and if we fail a test, then it's the end of the world, or it means that we're not as good as anyone else. And this is not true. When you make a mistake in your business, that's an opportunity to learn. Yes, they can be painful while you're going through them. I've been there. It's not always even fun to think about or remember. However, it's important that you draw lessons from that failure and that you forgive yourself and you move on and you know that you will come back stronger. Trey mentioned that he learned from his mistakes with his multiple company failures. Yes, he had a background in IT. He studied computer science and math in school, and he's doing something way different now than he was doing back then. However, he's pretty awesome at running his business, and he's learned from the mistakes that he's made. So he's had failures, he's had failed businesses. And you talk to anyone who is successful, and they'll usually have a higher number of failures than their successes in general. But what you'll find is that when they do hit that success, then it's a pretty substantial success. And a lot of them will say that they could not have reached their success until they had made those failures. So it's okay to fail. What's important is that you pick yourself back up. And some people don't even like to use the word fail. Some people like to call it a learning experience. So if you want to call it a learning experience, call it that. But just keep forging forward. Okay, that brings us to the end of this actionable takeaway episode. I hope you learned some things that you can apply to your business. Once again, these points are in PDF form for you to download from the website. So head on over to prophotographerjourney.com. Hit up this episode's show notes page and there will be a link for you to download the PDF notes. All right. I hope you enjoyed listening. I will talk to you next time. Are you getting ready for your first photo shoot and need to learn some common mistakes to avoid? Or maybe you need to learn how to communicate with your clients and grow your business through email marketing. Or perhaps you're just getting started with your website and you're trying to figure out this WordPress hosting stuff. When you're in business for yourself, it's a lifelong learning process for sure. And that's why I've set up the Pro Photographer Journey Resource Center. You can learn all of this and more through my free and paid self-paced online courses. Each course focuses on these individual topics and is designed to hold your hand every step of the way and help you learn how to run your business more successfully. You'll also find a host of other tools in the Resource Center that are useful for running your photography business, many of which I use myself. From email marketing tools to forming an LLC for your business to cool image editing software, it's there. And wherever possible, I include coupon codes to these online services so that you can grab a discount. So check it out at prophotographerjourney.com/resource center. That's prophotographerjourney.com/resource center.